And one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we find today on this 17th Sunday after Trinity, the plague of bone-deep satisfaction in our culture at large. We see a dissatisfaction with all the things in this world, and that it can even infect us Christians who find ourselves dissatisfied. And this is a common theme, and it's common enough that we see scholars have put diagnosed this malaise as stemming from our excess of desire. We, especially in consumerism, so we want and we want and we devour and devour, so much so that our hopes and desires, our wants, are so twisted that we in turn want to be devoured. We find ourselves eaten up by our desires, these earthly desires. But there is a remedy to this, and it's wanting God. It's wanting like a God, so that we might be like God. Brothers and sisters, we need to transform our desires and our hopes. Startling enough, insatiability is good, but not ingratitude, because we cannot be satiated, we cannot be filled if our desires are on its correct and right thing, which would be God. God has given us a desire for himself that cannot be satisfied. We always want more of a relationship with the Father. And we find ourselves in this here but not yet of the kingdom, where we do find satisfaction in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit and through his holy sacraments. But at the same time, we are still searching. And I think where we're missing is our love for God's creation. So could it be that our delight in God and his world is as tepid and lukewarm as our repentance and our prayer often is? Now, we often don't put these two things together, prayer and fasting and love of God with a love of God's creation, but this is the remedy for this malady, that we have become scanty lovers of God's creation. And that is against our true nature. God wants us to love his creation and to love him. We had a beautiful night's rain last night. We had the nice breeze, the sun on our skin. All of these things are gifts from God that he has given to us. And this is tapping deep into our person as sons and daughters of God. For we were made in the image of God, and in that, so it is part of our truer nature to actually love the things of God, which would be God, other people, and God's creation. So we must learn, first off, to enjoy God's creation again. We have found ourselves in our culture so distracted by the toys in our hands, the technology that prevents us from ever looking up. We are always looking down at our toys and are distracted. They're cheap toys too. They're not worth anything. It is a temporary pursuit of happiness, where our truer nature is the pursuit of happiness in the right relationship with God and right relationship with God's creation. So my challenge to you today is to look up. Thank you. Look up. This is what God is calling us to do, to look up at his creation and to actually enjoy the things God has given us. Like I said, we had a beautiful night of rain falling on our roofs last night. There's nothing better than going to sleep. As an Okie, I'll tell you, there's nothing more I enjoy than falling asleep with rain hitting my window. And it's in these little things that we find the joy of full communion with God and full communion with God's creation. And this is tapping deep into a root and a tradition within the Christian church. All we have to do is look at the saints and see how this can be manifested. We just celebrated one of those saints this past week, Saint Francis of Assisi. He loved God's creation so much that he communed with them. He had the long prayer, Sister Moon and Brother Sun. One time he was walking under a cusp of trees, and as he looked up, he saw the birds in these trees, and he loved the God's creation so much that he started preaching to the birds. And he was exhorting them to not be ungrateful for their creation, to love God, and so what did they do? They laid out their wings and bowed down to God in the trees, and then flew off. And this is the type of communion and joy that we can have in God's creation and in God. Because God created us to be in full communion with one another, with God and God's wonderful creation. And so we also have in the Eastern Church, we have St. Seraphim of Sarov, who was a Russian monk in the Middle Ages. He was such a lover of God's creation, so holy. He was a hermit that lived in the forest, and the people would come up to him, and they would see rabbits sitting on his lap, and wild foxes, and birds, you know, all just hanging out with him, because he almost so holy that he was in a state where it was the pre-fallen world, where creation and all and creation and man were at one with one another. One day a nun came up and saw a big giant bear sitting next to Seraphim Sarov, and he was just gently petting it and cuddling it. And this is a Russian bear, so I mean these and feeding it out of his hand some bread. This is an amazing thing that can happen and does happen when we truly love God and turn ourselves towards the actual desires of our hearts, which is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of our desires. He is the source of our desires. Lastly, there's another saint, Saint Kevin, in the early church, the early Celtic church, who was so earnest about praising God in his little hut. There wasn't enough room for him to spread out his hands and to praise God in this position. And so he stuck his hand out the window, and he was there, and the peace in the place was so holy and peaceful that a blackbird came and sat on his hand. And he was delighted in it, so delighted that he didn't move. Well, sure enough, the bird starts building a nest in the man's hand. And he's like, well, I'll just stay here. And so he stayed here until the bird started nesting and the eggs hatched, and the birds grew up and flew away. Now that is these are examples for we can wish to obtain this type of holiness. But this is why the saints are so beautiful, because they do give us glimpses of when we are holy, what happens when we do transform the desires of our hearts to the true nature of those desires, God and His and. Celebrate and rejoice in God's creation, that these things actually happen. You know, and if you ask each other of a time or a story that you felt connected with God's creation or the place in which you are at, we all have stories. It's a human experience that all of us have, and those are glimpses of what the full redemption of creation will look like. When the general resurrection comes, we will all be in a proper relationship with creation. I believe Isaiah says that the snake or the asp, or excuse me, the adder and the child will play over the adder's den. The lion and the lamb shall lie down together. There shall be no violence on my holy mountain. Everything will be in its proper relationship with each other and with God. And we will all have joy in each other's presence. And this is something that we can attain to today. Now, just because it is a fallen world today, we live in a fallen world, and the child isn't dancing and hovering over the adder's den without, or the scorpion's den without trepidation. We are scared. We do find ourselves at odds with God's creation because of the fallenness that we find through sin. But to love the fallen world is itself an act of intention and attention. And how much more so will we be able to enjoy the love of a fallen world and fallen creation? How much more so will we be able to, when all of God's creation at the general resurrection, when Jesus comes again and everything is made right, how much more so will we be able to enjoy being able to pet the poisonous snake and pet the lion and the bear and the birds sitting on our hands and preaching to the birds, and all of these things will become normal, because all of creation and all of our desires will be put in its proper place, which is to love God and to give Him praise and glory and honor. There's an Anglican priest from the 1600s named Thomas Trehearne that said this: "The skies were mine, and so were the sun and moon and stars, and all the world was mine, and I only the spectator and the enjoyer of it." Brothers and sisters, we get to enjoy God's creation as if we were the sole inheritors and owners of it, because God has made us to love Him and to love the things that He has made. It is the proper place for our desires is to enjoy these things. So let us enjoy that. Because when righteousness and happiness flow, so too must our love for God. So the ordinary needs of our food, our breath, our sleep, they reorient us toward our divine love. Everything, there's no such thing as the ordinary. All of the things of this world are made for our enjoyment, and that enjoyment will, when put in its proper place, will preach the good news of Jesus Christ as King on the rooftops. So let us love God in the particulars and in the abstract. Let us love God in His creation and in our neighbors. And let us love God in ourselves. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, it's a happy